What's up, everybody? Welcome to Reptiles Unplugged. What's up? What's up? It's a good night. This is Adam from Beach Bum Exotics, one of the hosts of Reptiles Unplugged. You can find me under Beach Bum Exotics with no E, just an X, because I'm a cool guy like that over on Instagram, Facebook, and Morph Market. And I've got an awesome host, the most amazing co-host, Mr. Shane from Small Town Exotics. What's good, my friend?
Hey, what's up? Shane, Small Town Exotics. You can find me on smalltownexotics.com. You can find me on Patreon. You can find me on Instagram, YouTube, all those cool places. And our technical producer, Jay at Green Line Morphs.
You are being taken over.
This is not a test.
Dude, who is that? Was that the master? Was that the wizard himself?
That was the master.
So
we've been hacked. Bro.
You got hacked.
Technical difficulties from the technical producer.
So we're hearing a little bit of echo there, technical producer. It's on your end.
How about now?
I think we're good.
Test. Yeah, we're good. We're good.
So we're throwing a little surprise for you.
Yeah.
Dude, I had no. Yeah, this was a total surprise. Look at these guys hacking me over here mentally.
So I figured, since a lot of the newer people don't know who you are because you ducked out for a little while and then you came back, we're gonna interview you.
Hey, all right. I like it, dude. Look at this.
We almost aborted this mission because as soon as you told me on the phone the other day that you were gonna be on Adam's show, as soon as I got the phone, I said to Shane, we might have to abort mission.
Oh, shit. So this had been in the plan for a little while.
At least 2 weeks.
Hey, and I got to say something, too. Who was? That's twice Adam's done that unintentionally. I think the other time was with the Harbins, maybe. And then with you, I'm like, dude, every time I'm trying to do something. And then Adam beats me by a day, man. We might have to switch to Mondays so he can't beat me.
And you proper Adam, right? Exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Dude, nice. Good job, guys. I like the surprise. Keep interesting over here. Oh, man. I love it. I love the little cut in, too, with the bump, bump. Like, it was like, what is happening?
You know how to come correct.
Hell yeah, dude. You definitely came through. That was amazing. Yeah, let's give some shout outs to chat.
Yep, do your thing.
All right. Definitely. Let's see. Who did we have first in the crew? Reptiles Unplugged being first in its own chat. Way to go.
That's me not knowing what account I'm signed in under, you know.
Or what day the show is.
That's what I was saying. Thanks, my man, for catching that, because both of us tards over here, I just scanned it. I'm like, yeah, it's a Wednesday. That's good to go. Doesn't matter what week or year or anything. It's just
I was looking at the timer. It said 7 days. I'm like, it's 3 minutes. What do you mean 7 days?
Hey, but wait. Tell them the truth, though. I wasn't the only one. Go.
So yeah, I was gonna text Shane, you know, early in the morning, since you guys are East Coast, I'm West Coast. So I scheduled my text, but goofed on the AM PM, and I was like, right at like in the green room, I'm like, Shane, did you see my text? By the way, I don't think I saw a response to it. I'm like, oh, it's still scheduled to send to you in an hour and 5 minutes or whatever.
Yeah, we're on top of shit over here, man.
Oh, yeah, dude. If you need anything to the point, you talk to us. We will definitely get it wrong. Oh, man. But what's up, chat, man? Got a lot of you in here. Thank you guys for showing up tonight. We always love having these little, in between weeks, but I guess I'm being interviewed this week. So who do we got? We got Old Back Rack, Jessica. Thank you. And then Jay. Thank you, sir. Aurora Exotics, got them in the chat. What is this? Blaker's Pythons, what's up? Got Ashley, Graceful Pythons. Oh, your episode over on Fat Man was pretty awesome. Go check that out, y'all. Jim, Ectothermic. What's up, sir? And 319. Thank you, guys. Man, yeah. Love chat. Love you guys.
All right. So I put Adam in the interviewee position.
Yeah.
That's right. The tables have turned.
I ain't driving. I'll let you guys drive.
So I'll start it off. I want to know more about where did your reptile beginnings start?
So like an origin story kind of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, like most of us definitely had a desire to always kind of keep, you know, some weird stuff that I was finding in the backyard or out in the bush while playing army with the buddies and stuff like that. And mom had pretty strict rules. She would allow things with legs in the house. If you didn't have legs, you weren't allowed in the house. You know, some leopard geckos, different skinks I would find, stuff like that. But because the forbidden fruit of snakes were taken, you know, off the table, man, I always wanted one. That was like the one type of animal I always wanted.
Makes you want it even more.
Oh, 100%, right? And, you know, and I was a pretty good kid. I wouldn't, like, if my parents set some boundaries like that, I was pretty good at following them, you know, and my dad being who he was, I could never sneak anything past that man. So I knew there was no hope of me sneaking animals inside the house. So I just kind of said, all right, cool deal. Fast forward till I'm making my own money, dating my wife, and we're, you know, moving around the country. We finally get reestablished in California. And I was telling her I really wanted a snake. And she, like, we had kept some reptiles together in Arizona and had a good time with them, ended up selling that collection. And I was telling her, I want a snake, you know, and I want to get into this, showed her some ball pythons. And she was like, okay, cool. How big do they get? And I'm like 5-6 feet. And she's like, oh, okay. That doesn't seem too bad. All right. And we went to a show, bought a snake at the Pomona show. I mentioned this on Adam's show last night. It was a pastel posset clown. I was so stoked that I could maybe make clowns. I really wanted to make bumblebees, and that's where kind of the craze.
What, around what time, like what year was this?
So the ball python purchase was in 2012, I want to say. Yep, 2012. Yeah. And it took me about like 4 years of kind of research to figure out, like, I got that first one and then I started figuring out, okay, what do I want for my second one? And
so you knew right off the bat you wanted to breed.
I was like, so when we were in the show looking for the animal, that was a question that quite a few of the breeders were asking me when I was trying to select my animal, right? And I'm like, yeah, maybe, I'm pretty sure. But in my head, anytime I'm like, yeah, maybe, like, it's already, yeah. Yes. I just haven't figured out how I'm going to do it. So I just kind of say, yeah, maybe, you know. But yeah, I kind of figured out I did want to breed them. So I was telling some breeders that, and bumblebees at the time and killer bees were like the coolest thing to me. I thought they looked ridiculously cool. So that was a goal of mine, was to make some of those. But I ended up finding, so a couple years later, started buying some more animals. The leucistic animals were still really popular, all, you know, black eye, blue eye. And then people started making snows, and snows started coming on the market a little more. So that was like my first kind of investment animal I bought, was an albino head exanthic, and you know, I wanted to make some snows with her. So about a year into her growing up-ish, I ended up buying a male exanthic head albino and bred them together for my very first clutch of snows, made some snows. So
do you remember how much those animals cost back then?
So, you know, I do have that written down in a spreadsheet. If memory serves me correctly, that albino head exanthic female, was listed for like around like $800-900, but I ended up like befriending the breeder. I would always stop by his table talking with him, and he threw me like a little buddy deal, and I think I ended up walking out of there at like $750 or something like that. Right. And then the male, actually I found him at a pretty good deal. He was an adult already, and somebody had him on his table, and he looked silver still. And I'm like, whoa, you don't see too many exanthics that look that good as an adult. And so I'm like, hey, can I hold the snake? Can I see it? And the guy was like, oh, we don't take that one out. And I'm like, why not? Well, his name is Satan. And I'm like, oh, for real? Yeah. Sure enough, dude.
I definitely want him now.
Yeah, he's right. And I'm like, so he eats really good. And the guy kind of laughed and he goes, yeah, every meal. And I'm like, awesome. I'm like, I will take him.
Hell yeah.
And I think I paid like $300 for him. So first project I was in at around $1,000 or so.
Yeah. So how many animals in at this point now?
So by that point, I had my pastel. I had my albino head exanthic and the male, and I had purchased a leopard female, posset pied, from the same breeder that I bought the albino from. So I think I was sitting right around like four animals, and I hadn't figured out that the initial pastel I had bought was actually a male and not a female. I had purchased it as a female, but it turned out to be a male. I hadn't figured that out yet. So here I was thinking, okay, I'm perfect. I got three females, one male. You know, I could do a little breeding project with this.
Right.
Even though I had no idea what I was doing, really.
So
was there any recourse back then for a missexed animal?
You know, yeah, you would hear people talk about it and stuff. I had let like two years lapse before I had figured it out. And I had just figured that was my mistake. I'm going to eat this, right? Like I should have sexed the animal right away. Now the animal's an adult, basically. Like, you know, I'm just learning lesson, you know? Right. And then the breeder that I had purchased from, she ended up getting out of the hobby to finish up school. So she wasn't even around at that time anymore either. So
right.
Nobody to go back to, really.
Right.
Yeah. So, but I bet you if she would have stuck around, she probably would have made it right if I would have ever talked to her. She was a good, had an upstanding reputation. Heather's Herps was her name. She was really nice lady, a geneticist by schooling. So she was a lot of fun to talk to about the stuff as I was getting more and more interested in it. So gave some good advice.
Yeah.
When did the branding Beach Bum Exotics come into play?
Like right off the bat? No. It's funny you asked that. Heather and I were trying to figure that out. And I think I would need to go back and look at my emails to get the exact, I want to say it was like 16 to 17, right there. About 4 to 5 years after.
4 to 5 years, yeah.
Yeah. So also at that time, you know, the forums were pretty big. Instagram was just kind of like starting to be a thing for a lot of the reptile keepers to be on. And so like in the forums, they were like clowning on people that were like naming themselves something exotics without having a clutch yet, right? And I'm like, well, dude, I don't want to be that guy, right? So I'm like,
I was that guy.
Yeah. Well, be that guy. I think you should. Why not? You know, like that was my own reading into things way too much and just listening to some kind of bad attitudes out there that were steering some of the ships at the time. I should have just branded myself whatever I wanted, you know?
Right.
But yeah, it took me about 5 years. Yeah.
So through all this time, it's just ball pythons. You don't have nothing else? At that time frame. I know you do now.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What species other than ball pythons do you have?
right now, just the retics and the ball pythons. For a little while, I was keeping some Candoya, Pulsani I was doing, and then I wanted to get into the vipers, the little viper boas as well, another Candoya species. Ended up selling the Candoyas. They were doing okay. I just, I was going to breed them, and then I really started researching like getting them turned on as babies and kind of how much of a pain in the butt it can be. And I just kind of decided, you know what? I don't know if I want to go down that road right now. So boom, out they went. But eventually I would like to get some more viper boas. I think they're cool.
Yeah.
And the
those
pulse
are cool.
On it. Yeah.
So what made you steer into retics then?
So the retics, you know, once you kind of get into snakes, you start, yeah, looking at like, all right, what's like the next level, right? And yeah, so I just started like looking at other species, which led me into like anacondas, boas, you know, Burmese pythons, retics. And then I got some exposure to some reticulated pythons at the shows, and I just really liked how they interacted. Right. Like I felt like when they were scoping things out, they were analyzing. Right. And the ball pythons, I love them dearly, but you pull that sucker out and it's just like, is there food?
Eat.
No. Boo. And like, yeah. that's about it. Right.
Right. That's why I like retic. They're slick, you know, like,
yeah, man,
they know what they're doing.
I think they're figuring stuff out, right? And I got to give some respect to that. And it's so that fascinated me immensely. Loved that about them. Yeah. And then being able to say I own one of the world's largest species in its dwarf form is pretty cool.
Yeah. I get that from like coworkers and stuff when they ask me about species and I mention I got a few boas and they're like, oh, those are the big ones, right? I'm like, well, yeah, some of them are, but I keep Sonorans. They're small, you know, like, they're like big ones, but they're this big, you know?
Right. I know to a lot of people, anything bigger than your forearm and they're like, whoa, what are you doing with that? Isn't that sizing right. You up to eat you? And it's like, no, take it easy. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
That's what I tell people about ball pythons. Like when they see an adult, they're like, that thing's huge. I'm like, yeah, but it takes up like 1 square foot of whatever you put it in. Right. Like, yeah. It's going to stay wrapped up in a ball in the corner. Like very rarely are you going to see it cruising around.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Even in like the display style enclosures, you rarely just see them full body stretched out. Like, you know,
The retics, they'll hang
out more like that. Yeah.
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 And at nighttime, they're always cruising around looking for a way out.
Yeah. I had a camera set up on this enclosure right here when I was breeding them just to see at night what the activity looked like. And waking up in the morning and like my notification deal is just like full. And I'm like, whoa, let's go back and check it out. And yeah, dude, they both didn't really stop moving for like 5 hours.
You know? Right. Yeah. Pretty active. Yeah.
Very active. Right.
Yeah.
So I just wanted on this channel, I know the answer, but the exotics misspelled intentionally for you.
And why do people do that?
Well, Adam's got his reason, and then I have my reason. So let's get it on record. You go first, Adam.
Well, I thought we were just being cool like each other. I saw your name and was like, shit, man, I got to make my name like that now. So no, not at all. I was doing a business search, you know, starting the whole registration process because the Venn shows you got to have your tax ID and all that good stuff. And so, you know, here I am searching around and Beach Bum Exotics with the E was taken up by a sun tanning company. So, yeah. So then I'm like, well, I'll drop the E. Boom. Available. Done.
It's probably green.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Marketing wise and all that, probably not the smartest strategy, but, you know, it's worked out okay. So
I don't think it's going to make a significant difference.
Yeah, exactly.
So my story is kind of similar, but for the record, Adam misspelled his first. So I was registering my name everywhere through all the socials in like 2019. Remember, there was a social platform called MeWe.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And like, there was like this push on Facebook because like no more sales. I forget the reason why, but everyone was like, jump on MeWe. All the reptile people are going to be there. I went to sign up and it told me the word exotics was like basically a banned word. And then so I was like, oh, dude, if this is going to be a trend, I need to fix that now while I'm in my startup phase. So then I was like, oh, Adam's from Ventura. I'm from Ventura originally. I'm like, he does no E. All right, I'm dropping the E. Exotics it is. Boom, let's roll. And that's how it started for me. So I took inspiration from Adam down there, you know?
Right on, man. I didn't know that. That's cool. Yeah, I like it. And then there's the, you know, the cool aspect of not having the E there too. Like the younger crowd gets it, you know? Like,
yeah.
My dad's, he's like, every time he sees it, like my shirt or whatever, he's like, your shirt's misspelled. I'm like, ha ha, funny, dad. Like,
never gets old.
Never gets old.
So you know, you've been around for over a decade. What have you seen the market, like the actual pricing of the snakes? Have you seen it go up and down a couple times at this point in your tenure? Oh,
yeah, for sure. I mean, when I got in 2012, you know, I'm trying to remember pricing and I can't remember exact dollar amounts, right? But like single gene, like pastel clowns, whatever. Yo, what up, Chris? They were going for a few thousand still, right?
Right.
Albinos were still, if it had like an incomplete dominant trait in there, they were still, you know, close to $1,000 kind of thing, if not maybe a little over, depending on what was in there. So for sure, I have noticed the ebbs and flows of our market. I don't know if I've ever, like the COVID pricing, when I was watching Morph Market, even though I was kind of away and not breeding, I would just, you know, just jump in and kind of see what's up. That was insane pricing. I had never seen pricing spikes like bubbles like that, in all honesty. Yeah, that was pretty crazy. But yes, I mean.
So when our market ebbs and flows, does it have any correlation with like the normal world, or is it like morph based? Like what have you noticed over the years?
I've noticed definitely a correlation between when the economy is doing strong and there's some extra money out there for people, then they start looking into pets, they start looking into hobbies more. So you see a like kind of an influx of newer people, money kind of coming in. You also see just the people in it already investing a little more. And then of course, right, when there's a new gene that breaks into the market, I think that helps. If it's an impactful gene, I think it helps quite a bit because it revives some of the base genes around it at the same time, because people want to see that new morph with the other stuff, right? And right. If something's cool, then you see a little bump up happen all the way around, right? But we haven't seen anything like I'll use banana for an example. When the banana coral glow hit the scene, that was pretty insane. And for me, that was probably the biggest morph I had seen drop on the market that day, you know, to date when I was in it, was banana selling for like 55 G's or whatever. And then like 3 years later, all of a sudden them being worth like, I don't even know, like $1,500 or whatever. That was the wildest like shift I had ever seen. I was like, whoa, that's intense. And then I went and bought a coral glow right away. I'm like, they're cheap enough for me now. Fuck yeah, I'm getting one.
Yeah, man, that's some high stakes on the line there if you're dropping that much money on a snake, you know?
Yeah, I think you got to be positioned right for it, you know?
Yeah.
Look at somebody like Jason Amos, for example. He's gotten in on the bananas. He's gotten in on the stranger. His collection was positioned in such a way that he benefited. Like, for him, dropping that amount of cash was a great idea. He had the females, he had the projects, he had everything ready to run those through it, make his money back plus a bunch, and then, you know, move on to the next project kind of thing. So,
yeah, that's what some newer people don't really realize. It's like, you can't just go buy an expensive snake without having the foundation of some good females that are like grown up, proven, have other impactful genes, recessives, and you can go different directions with it, you know?
So we're gonna read this one out loud. Chris over here with the greatest comments ever. I love Adam's mic placement because it looks like Antoine is hanging right over his face while he's on camera. Trust me, brother, I have been dreaming about Antoine. No, I'm joking. But I've been having
better not let him find out you said that.
But I have been having the same thought, bro. I need to change the mic placement. I think it's gotta come up. I've been looking for a different
You're gonna be on the Christmas card list now.
I love it. Thanks, Chris.
So I have another retrospective question for you. So I'm sure you've seen plenty of people come and go over the years, you know. What it's been almost 15 years for you.
Yeah.
Where are we at? Yeah, it's close to it. 12, 13, 14. Yeah.
Yep.
So I'm sure you've seen plenty of people come and go, and some people come back. Like, do you know when you see new people coming in, like, oh, they're just in it for the money, they're gonna be gone when it's gone? Like, I don't know. Just give me your observations on that. Mm. Like, you know, because I've seen a lot in my 6 years. And like, most of the people I got in with at that time, 2019, majority of them aren't around anymore, you know?
Right, right. Yeah. So, you know, all right, here's the thing. I was taught by my dad never to judge somebody without knowing them, right?
Right.
So, I mean, I never like to look at somebody's like Instagram account or whatever and be like, oh, they're not going to be around in 5 years. That's normally not my kind of initial reaction. I do look at like newer people coming in, and there are some that, you know, have like social media figured out and like their presence there. And maybe you could even tell right off the bat, oh, this guy has owned other businesses. He has a business mindset to this. And then you see some other people that come in and they're looking at it a little more from like, well, this started out as like a pet kind of interest. And once I learned more, breeding is kind of interesting to me, but I'm just dipping my toe in it. Right. And so that's kind of how I weigh the newer people coming in. Hey, is this dude business minded? Is he driving this like a business? Okay. Hey, there's going to be a different approach when dealing with that type of person versus the person that's maybe on the fence. Do they even want to breed? They don't know yet, right? They see these things as beautiful animals, and they want to have a few beautiful animals at their house, and maybe they'll breed down the road. So I don't know. I know it's a non-answer, but that's just kind of how I look at it. So.
Yeah, that was a pretty like politician type answer, but I mean, it's acceptable, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, so, all right. So why I gave that is because...
HR told you to.
Paging HR, right? Well, it's because, dude, I saw some... And I won't mention any names, but I saw some people at the very beginning getting hated on and like, oh, they're never going to last. And dude, they're still in it and producing awesome clutches to this day. Right. But they were second guessed the entire time for whatever reason. And I just never wanted to like be that guy in the industry. Right. Like, who am I to say that you're not going to make it? Dude, I don't know your situation. Hell, you know, like I know nothing about you other than a picture and a few comments you put on a page, maybe. So,
right.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Right.
All right. We could take that one down. Nobody needs to see that.
So you mentioned the other night on the competitors show that you're going to downsize a little bit. So in your downsizing process, are you focusing in and going higher end? Or are you just downsizing for workload? Like, what's your purpose behind downsizing?
Okay. Yeah. So like once I started doing the dog show in with Heather, right, I really started enjoying that along, you know, it was like doing a hobby with my wife. Awesome. So I want to make sure that there is enough time in my life to be able to do that. Two, I look at the current market and just utilizing Morph Market as kind of the like temperature gauge. And I see how many animals are out there and how long quite a few of them are sitting on market. So then I start thinking to myself, why would I just crank out 80 clutches just because I can, right? Like for me, I would need to shift gears immensely and go on really big marketing campaign, up my time spent in this by really starting to go to the shows a lot more. I know that, right? Like I would have to really up my engagement if I'm going to start producing that many guys. And I kind of like where my engagement level is right now. And so if I have focused animals, so like focused in the sense of like the genetics I'm working with, I can go to a smaller collection and have the same impact, if not maybe a bigger impact than I would have with a big collection. Or it's not big, but big for me, you know.
Right. Type of right.
Thing. Yeah.
What's too big for you?
So
I mean, obviously you have a footprint that you have to work with right now, right?
Yes. Yeah. For one, the footprint that I am in is pretty small. It's 20 by 10. So I'm kind of at my max capacity a bit. Like if I got rid of the retics, I could fit another like 100 some odd ball pythons in here, right? But yeah, I love them. So the retics are going to stay. And the infrastructure I have set up for the ball pythons is good enough right now, especially if I keep downsizing. It'll give me some room for some grow outs.
Stuff you have like a rack that. For the ball pythons?
Yeah, I've got a ARS 7030. I've got a FB, what is it, the 5540, the 40 series. Yeah. I've got a couple old school 1070s, you know, just the 10 high single. I've got two of those. And then I've got a Vision baby rack that's like 14 high. I don't know. It could fit like 80 some odd tubs in it, or very close to 80, I think it is, somewhere around
there. I know what you're talking about. I have the same Vision rack.
Yeah. And yeah, or 500 hognoses, exactly.
Alicia read my mind when you were saying like, oh, if I got rid of the retics, I could fit another 100 ball pythons. I was thinking like, man, you can do 500 hognoses, you know? Growing.
Exactly. Harbin's footprint just keeps growing.
100%. So yeah, for me, I kind of figured out about like 120 to 130 animals was I would reach burnout quick. With that, because prior to me, my injury, my wife, like, you know, she's got her own stuff going. She does a lot of the around the house chores stuff because I'm normally in the snake room taking care of them. And at 120, doing that all on your own can feel like a second job sometimes. And I just don't want these guys to feel like a second job to me. And at that number they were, and that's where I'm like, all right, like I got to back off. That 80 number for adults is good, which will then allow me to expand up into that like 120, 30 range when I got babies, which isn't too big of a deal. Cause I know that window is going to be shorter. Get rid of the babies, right. Back down to 80 we go, and vice versa, you know.
Yeah, and with the Focus Collection, like you're talking about, like puzzle and offshoots of that. I mean, like you'll have, like people will know to search you out. Like, oh, I'm looking for puzzle. Oh, Adam's got puzzle. You know?
Yeah. Right. And that was another. Yeah. Right. So I wanted to pick a lane. I didn't want to have like a collection that was, you know, 10 different recessives and spread all over the place and stuff like that. So, right. I'm focusing on puzzle, desert ghost and hypo. And then I'll probably bring in maybe a recessive or two down the line. Like Monarch has really been on the forefront for me. As far as if I want to bring in another recessive, that's probably the one that I'll pick next.
I know some Monarch people.
I'm who are saying. Those guys? Who are they? Yeah, they're great.
I acquired something from them recently.
Yeah, man, I know. Yeah. I gotta talk to the Harbins here. We'll make it happen. We'll see what Alicia and Josh gotta say. Maybe they've got some good advice too. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. So over your time in the reptile industry, have you noticed like trends like, all right, it's like all incomplete dominant smashing, or it's like trending towards recessives? Do certain recessive combos come and go? Like you mentioned snow, that's not a project I see anybody working anymore. Like what kind of trends have you noticed?
So it's funny, like I think for the longest while it's been all about recessives, right? And that's only compounded as the years have gone on. Like initially it was like if you saw hypo with a clown, whoa, or on a pied, it was, wow, mind blown, right? So anytime you were seeing the double recessives together, that was holy crap. And then maybe rarely would you see like a triple recessive. And so I think really the focus has been recessive heavy. Even today, it's all about triple, quad, quintuple. I'm not smart enough to go higher than that, whatever that right. is.
I think it's sextuple. I think
sextuple, there you go. Yeah.
I think we get to use the sex word.
But, you know, so I still think that is the kind of main drive is gene stacking. We haven't pulled that out of our ball python breeding mentality. It's just for the last half a decade, it's been recessive gene stacking. Prior to that, it was incomplete dominant gene stacking. Like how many can you shove in there and go? And then I'm starting to see though a trend right now that it doesn't matter on paper, or it's starting not to matter too much on paper what's in the animal, as long as that animal has like a wow factor to it. Right.
Right.
And I think you're starting to see price reflections on that as well. Like you're seeing some animals that are just incomplete dominance, but like some super forms, which people should really start treating those like recessives, right?
Right.
Like a super pastel is homozygous for pastel, right? Like
right. it's,
so, you know, people can start treating stuff like that, and you see it commanding a higher price, like some of the super OD black pastel, you know, inchy stuff. So you've got an allelic plus a homozygous incomplete dominant, like those animals are fetching a good price. Well, good, because that took just as much work to make like your desert ghost clown something or another. Right.
Right.
And it's just not easily repeatable right off the bat either, you know? So yeah, I think that's going to be kind of the next shift that we're going into is more, purposeful tailored breeding for aesthetics. It's not just gene stacking on paper. My animal is all of these genes, buy it for $10,000. Right.
Yeah, I've noticed that with it just in my own head here in my breeding. It's like the ones that I hatch that look have the wow factor. That's the ones I'm happy to produce. They might not be the most genetically superior, but they're the most beautiful. I don't know if that's going on in the rest of the reptile community, but that's just what I noticed in my own little world that I live in over here.
Yeah, man.
red lights and everything going on over here. Yeah, but
dude, totally. And like, so you do a lot of shows, right? I haven't vended a reptile show in quite a while. I think if I were to start vending reptile shows, that focus would become immediate to me. Producing animals that have that wow factor from 15 feet away, right? Right. You want to stand out amongst the sea of ball pythons. And gene stacking doesn't typically do that. They all become white patternless snakes eventually, right? Or brown patternless snakes eventually.
yeah. Dirty socks.
Like sunset. Yeah.
Whoa, Jay.
Shots fired.
Whoa,
Shark,
Jay.
Shots fired.
At least this time they're not at me.
Yeah. Shout out to Keeper Kane. He's in the room. I'm wearing his shirt. Nice shirt. Good branding on that, Keeper Kane.
Yeah, nice, nice. Is Keeper Kane slacking on the back?
So,
no.
Nice. Good job.
Are you? Kane.
Oh, look at that. Look at that.
Yeah, that's a good cool shirt.
Logo too.
That's a cool logo.
Are you going to get into doing shows, vending shows more?
So I think this first year back, year and a half, maybe 2 years back, I'm probably not going to vend. Maybe down the line, I'll consider it. Now, that will change if I produce a couple clutches of retic eggs. You better believe I'm going to be trying to get on that vendor list. I hope to be producing the right amount of animals where I'm not going to need to vend. My online customer base, I'm hoping, will take care of sales like that. It's not that I don't like vending, and vending, I think, is extremely necessary to bring new people into the hobby. These shows, I think, are a gateway into the hobby for quite a few people. So it's not that I don't want to do it. It's just, it's a lot of work, man. And I'm trying to ride that line of not burning out and doing all of this, you know, the right way.
I love that it's a lot of work.
Yeah, well, you're a crazy man.
Makes it worth it.
You are the grind. Yeah,
that brings up a good question. So you started paying attention and getting in around 2012. So you've seen sales shift to more of an online focus over your time, I'd imagine, right?
Oh man, yeah, big time. 2012, 13, 14, those times, you could, you know, Kingsnake, Fauna. You had ways of purchasing online, but it was a lot of email correspondence. Cameras at that time sucked. So it's what am I truthfully seeing here? I don't really know. So you waited for the shows. You really did. Especially I did, because I wanted to see that animal in person. I am semi a skeptical person. And so I'm like, well, how do I know this guy's not editing this crap to make it look way cooler? And then I'm going to get the animal and it looks like crap. And then I'm not going to be able, I'm going to have no recourse, you know?
Right.
So the shows for me were the way in to go verify what I was buying and all of that. Yeah.
And then that kind of limits, then you're basically limited to whatever region of shows that you can get to on the projects you have access to.
Big time. Big time. Yeah. Yeah, I never really looked at it like that, but at that time, you're right, right? The pyramid you were buying into is your local pyramid, basically.
Right, right. You know?
Yeah, the same money pool and the same genetic pool.
Yeah, that is very, very true. I just never really looked at it like that, but now that I kind of look back on it, that is very true. I was on social media talking with Ozzy, Justin, even Sean Bradley. I was trying to engage with some of these guys to pick their brain and try and understand, you know, what we're looking at here, you know, what's all that type of stuff. And thankfully, they were all very, very pleasant and answered questions, even though I wasn't buying anything. I didn't buy my first animal from Ozzy or Justin until 2018. you know. Right. But they had spent several years with me asking questions here, saying, hey, you got a show, you know, because I would also fly out to shows, like I did Tinley and I did some other shows, because I did recognize that like networking and getting yourself known was extremely important, right?
Right.
Yeah. So.
So yeah. Now that social media is around, you just do it that way?
So, yeah, right. I've just been doing online stuff through Instagram. For a while, Instagram was where I was selling like a majority of my snakes. Then Morph Market came around, and Morph Market's been pretty good to me. Still, I would have to say probably more engagement still comes through Instagram about questions. You know, when I am posting more regularly, the Instagram does a little better for me. Yeah.
Do you just go to shows or you just don't even go at all?
Yeah, no, I started going to the Pomona show again, and then I hurt myself with the Achilles tendon, and that put me out for the June show, and it'll put me out for the rest of the year. But come next year, I'd like to, well, actually, I might be going to, what is it, the AARPE? Did I do that right?
Yeah, okay. It's almost easier to just say all American, you know,
like, for real, right? Yeah.
Where's the R and the E?
That's it in my head. I'm like, the All American Reptile and Plant Expo. I'm gonna be going to the Scottsdale one. That's my next one that I'm gonna try and go to. I'm gonna pull the trailer out there and make a little like vacation out of it. And then I want to in January be at the Pomona show, the super show. So yeah, I plan on visiting. I want to go to Daytona, Arlington, and Tinley in 2026. That's my goal.
Don't forget about Southeast.
Oh yeah, Southeast. Right. Oh wait, I've
been that one too.
I gotta go to that one then. So four shows. Yeah, I gotta go to at least four shows in 2026. So.
Yeah, that one's like Tinley South. You gotta go to that one.
And they're doing the whole breeder showcase.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Which you gotta I don't know. You know, you guys know what I'm talking about, right? The breeder showcase thingy that they're doing over there, like kind of like a, you know, a dog show, a confirmation show, but for snakes, man.
I'm interested to see how that pans out.
Me too. I love the idea. I love that they're putting, you know, they're putting this on the ground right now, and I think it's going to do great things for the hobby. I think it'll add a layer of competition,
which is great. Yeah, I like that. Another achievement.
Yes, exactly. You know,
another goal for people.
Another goal, 100%, right? So I'm excited to see how they do it.
Dude, I got to pick out a snake tanner.
Yeah. What? Right? Exactly, dude. Dude, you got to get on that Desert Ghost, G-Stripe, Clown, Hibusa.
Man, I don't know. Well, with what I got right now, man, I'd probably throw a Krypton in there. I don't know what the categories are though. I think it's, I don't know. I need to look into that more. I think
there was best recessive. So there's best overall snake, which is like best in show, basically, right?
Right.
And then I think there's best recessive, best incomplete dominant. And then they had four or five categories, and I can't remember what the other two are. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to have to look into that, and then I'll go and plan something. I got at least enter.
Yeah, dude, you got it. I mean, sure.
Yeah. Cause I think it's limited to vendors of the show. So I got to, participate.
That idea is going to bleed into Instagram, and somebody's going to launch a contest like that on Instagram.
Oh, that'd be good.
I think so. Instagram would be a fun kind of way to do it, and maybe even do some lives where you have the judge panels talking and doing some, you know, evaluation or so. I don't know. Yeah, I think there's a lot of room.
All ESPN.
Totally, dude. That would be sick, right?
I think we'd be like ESPN 2 or 3 though, like one of the lower ESPN. Yeah.
Oh, easily. Yeah.
The one where they have like competitive hacky sack and stuff. That ESPN, you know.
Hey, I used to hacky sack, man. That shit's cool.
I know. So did I.
Dude, what? Dude, I'm badass at hacky sack, dude.
That's it. That's why Achilles is done. I'm challenging you both to a hacky sack tournament. No, I'm joking.
Oh, I'm game. I'm game.
I love hacky sack. I'm definitely down for that.
Yeah, that would be fun. When we meet up, I'll bring my sack to go along with the mic.
I'll bring my sack too. Let's see whose sack is cooler.
Oh man. I hope nobody takes this show listening out of context.
Might make them come back to watch again.
ESPN Ocho. I love it. Oh man, 100%. But I think it's a great idea, so I'm all for it. So I'm supporting that breeder showcase movement type of thing. Got to talk with Leviathan and maybe get him on the show so he could kind of go over that. I think that would be kind of a cool episode.
Yeah.
Kind of run once they have. I know they're still, or I think they're still figuring out some details, I think, or whatever, but.
Yeah. I need to look into that. I've been kind of, I don't know where I've been. I've been on Reptiles Unplugged once a week. Yeah. That's where I've been.
There goes the other Achilles. Exactly, Josh.
what's your recovery time left on that?
Oh man. So I've got another, week-ish time frame with no weight on it, and then I've got about 4 to 6 weeks of me slowly putting weight back on it while the heel is in a boot in like a high heel position, and each week it'll get dropped into like a flatter and flatter position.
Yeah.
So depending on how quick I can kind of go through that series of step downs, it might be 4 weeks or 6 weeks, and then once I can actually place weight on it, Doc said that I'll be able to like walk pretty normally, but like no jumping, none of that type of crap. He said in about a year I'll be playing on the Lakers, so you guys will see me out.
he tightened it up so you could jump higher.
Dude, 100%. I got at least like an 8-foot vertical right now, bro. I'm going to be jumping over the backboard. So.
Over the stadium.
Y'all don't even know what's about to hit.
So what's the struggle like cleaning the retics and everything like that? Or is your wife doing it?
Wifey, baby.
100%. You're not even there?
For the big retics, I come in. And the plan is if she gets attacked, I'll hit him with the crutch. Let her go. But for the big ones, I am standing in here just in case. But dude, she's been handling it like a pro. She really has. Tonight's going to be fun, though, because it is her first feeding night.
Tonight?
And uh-huh.
Oh, you should film it.
Yeah, just for us.
You don't have to post it.
Hey, just move the camera, leave the room open, you know.
Yeah. I got a little spot back here. We could definitely hook something up. But yeah, so we're feeding live tonight. Because I have like half the collection on frozen thawed and half on live. Like my breeders. The people that are actively breeding that year, I put them on live, and that way I'm just consistently getting them, you know, nutrients and all that. And then my grow ups are actually on frozen thawed. I would prefer them to, you know, and then anybody that's on frozen thawed during the live night, if one of the ones that eat live don't take it, boom, they, you know, then it goes to one of the others kind of thing.
So. Right. Yeah. Yeah. All right, well, I want to get a prediction out of you. I know you kind of brushed on it earlier, but before we jump off, so where do you see the ball python market heading to in over the next like 5 years?
Okay. Like market money wise, I think if economically our country continues to do pretty good and is on an upward trajectory, I think that we will see a stabilization in the pricing of the market for the ball python specifically. And then 5-year prediction for like the meta. I think it's going to be aesthetically beautiful snakes taking the prize money. I don't think it's going to be the most genetically impactful snake that's going to maybe be fetching the highest. And then I think Scrambler, or actually either Scrambler or Tornado, they're kind of 50-50 for me, is going to be one of the bigger recessive genes. Well, or, you know, bigger genes to kind of come to market, right? I know Scrambler is not recessive, but,
yeah,
you know, I think the Super Scrambler is where it's at there.
So. Yeah, I agree with you on all fronts. And Scrambler, I think, is going to be one of those genes, kind of like how Orange Dream is, man. Like, it's just, it makes everything better. So, yeah. The alleles and everything. Yeah. I agree with that stuff too. Supers, alleles. Yeah.
You know, cause I mean, and I think we as like, all right. So our jobs as breeders for the next couple of years is going to be talking about and educating the newer people or people that don't quite have a grasp on the genetic side, the importance of supers and allelic combos, right? I think that's our as keepers, breeders, that's our next mission for the next couple of years, is explaining the importance and value in them, right? I think they've been undervalued and recessives have been overshadowing for too long. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree, man. Like, any of the ALS combos that look good or super, you know, whichever way you're going with it, but you understand what I'm saying. I think they're undervalued, especially right now, man. They're like super undervalued.
And yeah. It's
a travesty. I'm telling you, it's a travesty, you know?
So Shane losing sleep over here. Come on, y'all.
Yeah. Like, man.
That just means the breeders need to figure out how to spice it up for those genes. It's up to us.
Yeah, I like, you're 100% right, Jay. It's up to us, right?
You know. So Jay's issuing challenges and Adam's making predictions for pretty snakes. I like this show already, man. Like, let's get after it, Shane, everyone.
Did you want to get his opinion on trains?
I don't. That's an inside joke. So we were texting earlier and he's like, hey, I want to get some of his backstory. I'm like, yeah, I want to talk to him about trends since he's been around for a while. But it auto-corrected to trains. So, like, I'm sitting there doing talk to text, and I'm, like, eating a burger on my lunch at work. And then I, like, hit send, and I, like, check it. And I'm like, trains? Like, it's, like, says trains, like, 4 times in the message. I'm like, yeah, we could talk to him about trains, too, I guess.
Luckily, I speak deet-deet, too.
But
I was in the military. So that, you learn neat to eat real quick in the military.
Oh, man, for sure.
Hey, good to see you all too, John.
Yeah.
And I seen your comment earlier about Bakersfield's heating up, and I'm just glad to be in Tennessee, brother.
Oh, is John out in Bakersfield area?
He's in the Central Valley. I don't think he's in Bakersfield. He was up north. He was kind of up there by the Fresno crew somewhere.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah, man. Central Valley towards Baker and all that's on fire right now, basically. It's getting hot.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, cool. So I think we've done good interviewing Adam. We were trying
to
be
excellent. I appreciate that.
So, like, here was the basis behind it. So Jake came up with the idea, and I was like, that's a great idea. We'll ambush him, make a promo, do all this stuff. And I was like, dude, I don't think Adam's ever really been interviewed anywhere. Like, not to my knowledge. So I was like, we could be the first one. Then damn proper Adam gets you the day before. Man.
It's funny. When we were talking, I think we were FaceTiming.
Over the weekend.
I was trying to, like, make sure my face didn't, you know, like.
Nah, you didn't give nothing away. You didn't give nothing away. Yeah. Howdy, you did very good. Very good, my friend.
Shane passes the OPSEC test. Operational security.
Yeah, man. So, Adam, you're back in charge. You're the one that usually does the announcing of next guest. So, who do we got on next?
Back to the bottom.
All right.
Whew, now I feel much better. On top. No, I'm joking.
I kept it warm for you. I farted. A couple times.
That's why it's warm. God, you son of a bitch. Oh man. So, all right, next show is going to be an awesome one. He's a good time, a long time and a good time, but a long time friend, Mr. Randy from Dark Cloud. It's going to be an amazing show. Randy's got amazing puzzle stock, awesome clowns, just awesome animals in general. He's been in the industry way longer than I have, so he's, I don't know, probably, we'll have to find out exactly on next week's show, but at least close to 20 years in the industry. He breeds amazing stuff. He's a hoot. He's always doing something crazy. So you tune in next week. You never know what you're going to get with Randy. He could be naked on our show. The guy shows up in all crazy stuff. You never know.
Yeah. You don't know. And for those of you that don't know Randy, he's sitting on a whole bunch of puzzle stuff. Like, I don't think he shows it off enough.
Oh no.
He's got a bunch. Yeah, Randy is like kind of like a sleeper sort of. So if you don't know, you don't know.
He was
one of the first accounts I started following when I started.
Ah, right on. And he's a great guy too, right? He does so much for the people in the industry. Like, he's helped out countless people. Him and I have done some collabs with each other. He's stand up in that arena as well. So he'll have a lot of knowledge. He's not afraid to say what's on his mind. So we should get some, maybe even spicy topics. He's a great dude. So tune in, y'all, next week.
Yep.
All right. Hey, thanks you guys for interviewing me, man. That was a lot of fun. The surprise was great. I did not expect it. So you guys did a great job. I appreciate it.
Well, let me ask you something. What did you think was going on when the little clip played? And then I popped up on the screen. Did you even notice that?
I did. Yeah, I saw you pop into the green room, right? And then I'm kind of like, all right.
I said to Shane, he's going to be so confused. He's not going to know what to do.
Yeah. At first, I was kind of like, okay, cool promo. All right. Is Jay going to pop in and like, you know, you've been hacked and do like a segment? I thought it was like a segment piece that was about to take place. And then when you guys were like, no, we're going to interview, I was like, oh, shit. Yeah.
But we got stuck with proper Adam sloppy seconds. I was like,
Adam's getting a lot of screen time now.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, man. Too funny, man.
Mission complete.
Mission complete. You guys did excellent. And thank you, everybody in chat, for showing up, having a good conversation tonight. So we do appreciate that, as always. And we're a couple minutes past the hour. I know on these weekends, we try and keep it very, very close to the hour mark to be respectful of everybody's time. So again, thank you for showing up, watching us. Throw us a like if you're listening to us on one of our audio-only platforms. Write us a little comment. Tell us we suck. I don't know, something. Just give us any feedback you want. It helps out big time. We would appreciate it. And we love everybody that showed up live to support us. Y'all have a great evening, and we will see you next week at 8 p.m. Eastern. Later.